As parents, we want our children to have a very strong sense of who they are. But what happens when they realize that they're really quite a bit different than other people? Jill Monaco tackles that issue with her book, Miranda's Mirror. Jill is the founder and CEO of Jill Monaco Ministries. She's also a Bible teacher, a podcaster, and a speaker, and is known for captivating audiences with her high-energy, humorous approach to life's serious issues. Her faith-filled and transparent stories encourage listeners to become all that God has created them to be. Let's listen in. Hello, and welcome to the Power of Kids Books podcast, where we believe books are a catalyst for empowering and inspiring change. I'm your host, Dori Durbin, and today we have Jill Monaco. Jill, welcome.
Hi, thanks for having me.
Absolutely. I am so thrilled that we had time to get together, and I just want to share what you do. I know that you're the CEO and the founder of Jill Monaco Ministries.
Sometimes it's a mystery to me, too.
I was going to say ministries.
That's right.
You're a life coach, a speaker, and you've done professional voiceovers, even for Disney. So tell me about that.
Yeah. Oh, gosh. So fun. Well, on the voiceover and the doing kids book voiceovers, I was a musical theater major. And so I was an actor professionally for over 20 years. And I loved it. In the midst of that, you get agents and, you know, opportunities to do different things. And so I've been hired for several kids books for Disney, where you know, it's the push button, or My Little Pony, where I'm reading the whole story to kids and it's a video interactive, or Clifford the Big Red Dog. So I've done a bunch of kids books. So that's so fun. And then I made the transition into more life coaching and running Jill Monaco Ministries the last 15 years. But in that transition, I still do voiceovers. In fact, I have an audition later today to submit. So that's kind of it.
Will you still audition after all of the stuff that you've done? I would think that wouldn't even be a question.
Yeah, no, I think that's just for the big Hollywood stars. But yeah, we still audition, whether it's for voiceover projects or on camera work. And it's really, you know, it was my full-time thing that turned into side hustle, just for lots of different reasons. And I love it. But I really love what I'm doing now, which is just helping people be everything that God created them to be. And I do that through courses and coaching and books and podcasts, et cetera.
Wow. And do you work with a certain group of people? Like, are you working just with women, working with families?
Yeah, you know, it started with me working with men and women right away. And everyone says, well, you know, pick a demographic, and most women work with women. But what I teach are some really universal truths. So I think I attract both in my coaching business. And then I also mentor coaches that are learning coaching and helping them get their credentials. And then I'm on the board of an institute for teaching coaching. So I think that's what facilitates it being men and women, is coaches who want to learn how to be a better coach and who want to grow their business. So yeah, I do a little of both, but the universal truths are that there are lies that we all believe, and we have to dispel those lies with the truth. And in a ministry context, it's the truth of what God's word says and how he sees us and who we are. And so we work through fear and rejection and all these normal coachy things from a Christian perspective, which is also a little bit of a message in my kids' book.
Okay. All of that is amazing. First of all, let me say that. So is that what prompted you to write the kids' books, or how did that come about?
Yeah, you know, it was one of those strange things where I was on a plane and I was going to a speaking engagement. It was a late night flight. And, you know, the planes are so quiet at night. Everyone's taking a nap or sleeping and it's dark. And I was in that half awake, half sleep mode. And all of a sudden I had like this movie play out in my head, which is this story. And it's the story of Miranda. And the name came to me at the same time, Miranda's Mirror. And I got out my iPhone and I typed it into my iPhone. And then I shared it with my literary agent, or I shared it with people. And they're like, yeah, that's sweet. But nobody seemed like really excited about it. And I thought, all right. But I just felt like it was a message. And at the right time, I would know when to release it. And so in the last in 2022, last summer, I really felt like this is the time to do it. And it's a book on identity. So it addresses those things that I said everyone struggles with and are off, and replacing lies with truth. And so Miranda goes through her own journey. And so, yeah, I got it like in a download, I wrote it down in a second and I tweaked it a little bit, you know, in after that, but it was probably not the same way. Everyone gets their kid's story in a different way, I think.
They do. And I peeked at your book. It's adorable. The character is adorable. And I love that she is seeing herself through this mirror, which is really, if I can make this analogy, it's probably through God's eyes, right? Is kind of where you're going with it. And so I think, you know, looking through parents' eyes, I think back to when they were little and they were playing dress up and they were going through some of these probably identity things that you as a parent might not even really made the connection that that was a crucial moment in their life right then. And you just totally picked up on it.
Yeah. I think, you know, this is geared more towards little girls. And you look at the stages of development, right? When they're little, they find a mirror and they're fascinated and they're playing and they're laughing with their imaginary little friend, which is them in the mirror. And as women, we're like, oh, you look so beautiful and you look pretty. And we just, there's something in our nature that wants to be feminine and delicate and pretty. And I think sometimes in the church world, we're taught only character. It's who you are on the inside, not to discount that. That's so important. But there needed to be a bridge between the reality. If I'm always saying my outside doesn't matter, then I am putting down an attribute and a character of God that He designed us all uniquely and like He chose these things, our color of our hair and eyes, as much as He made the birds to fly and the fish to swim. Mm-hmm. So He loves being creative and we should embrace that. And so Miranda goes on this journey to, and I don't want to spoil the whole thing, but she goes on a journey of playing in the mirror and it's fun. And then she gets to a point where she's standing with her friend in front of the mirror when she's a little older and she notices that she's different and she doesn't know if that's okay. And so then she starts changing clothes a lot. As we know, little girls do. They start, you know, hearing things at school that put them down about things they can't control. Like you have braces or something. And so then it chips away at our self-esteem and our identity. So yes, the story is about Miranda discovering who she really is, what is her value and worth, not only on the inside, but that how God made her is perfect just the way she is.
I absolutely love that. It's such an important piece that people still struggle with, you know, when they're older. So that's so pertinent to our time, especially now. I want people to hear a little bit of it. And I know it's probably hard to pick exactly how much to share. So I'll let you decide. I need to hear a piece of it.
Okay, I will. And there's the pivotal point is that scene that I talked about with her friend. And so this is, so she's the first time they're standing in front of the mirror. So it says, years went by and Miranda grew. Her friend came over to play and said, I've never seen a mirror so big before. As the girls stood side by side, Miranda noticed she looked different from her friend. For the first time, she thought, I'm not beautiful. So that's like the change point. And the next day, you know, as she's changing clothes and then her, all of a sudden, and this is the fun part, there is a sticky note that shows up on her mirror. And it says, one day, Miranda saw something on her mirror. It was a pink sticky note that said, you are fearfully and wonderfully made. And so as she starts seeing these truths about who she is, these sticky notes show up, then she starts feeling good about herself and you see the change in her countenance because of that. So, and then the whole mystery is who wrote the sticky notes? Who's leaving them? She asked her mom, it's not her mom. So that's the thing kids will discover.
That's awesome. Oh, I love the whole context of it. And just even having the two girls together in the mirror, that's such a real situation of comparing, right? And something, like I said, that starts so early, so much earlier than we think, especially for girls.
Yeah. And different does mean beautiful. We're beautiful in different ways. And so I think that needs to be embraced. And if we would teach little girls to see like through the eyes of God themselves, but also see others that way, I think it would make a big difference. You know, I've taught my nieces, well, what do you love about that friend? Okay, you had a fight, but what do you know about them to be true? And, oh, I know they're really kind, or they know, you know. And so we try and help little kids process their pain. And if we can do it through a story where they're processing it without talking to us at first, and little things are going on in their minds, then we can have a conversation. And I'm sure you know this, as raising kids and as in the education system, whoever tells somebody something first as a kid, that's what they believe. Mm-hmm. And so it's our responsibility as adults to be the first one to tell little kids who they are. And so in the back of my book, I have a couple questions and activities that parents can do with their kids. And so it's built into the book so that they can continue the conversation. And of course, there's a free activity guide on my website too for coloring and crossword puzzles and all kinds of other little things. But I really want parents to have this discussion with their children early on. So this is just beauty, which, by the way, this is fun. I didn't tell you this. So later I found out Miranda, the name, what her name means is beautiful.
No way.
I didn't know
that on purpose.
No, that remember I told you on the plane, the title and everything was just a download.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I was like, I thank God's in this, because there's no way, I'm not that smart and I didn't know anybody named Miranda. So.
Well, just the fact that it came to you alone, much less gave you the name that actually meant beauty. That's amazing. Definitely.
I know. Yeah. It's so fun.
So here's something kind of crazy. You're reading all these books from Disney. You're spending, and not Disney.
Yeah,
when you were reading the books, did it give you that much more motivation to write your own book?
Yeah. I don't know if it gave me more motivation, but I knew that I found something I really loved. Mm-hmm. And I thought, this is so much fun. I love bringing characters to life. Mm-hmm. I think the Pinkie Pie series was one of my favorites, because there's different characters. And when I read authors' books that are fiction and there's a lot of characters, I get to really, this is the actor in me that's like, oh, I get to bring this character to life. But I think as an actor, as that background, my brain works in story. And so I like to see a natural arch to it. So I think just the way I'm wired and my gifting and training just made me, you know, feel like this wasn't overwhelming or too hard. And I think as I've interacted with more children's book authors, I think one of the keys is if you want to write a children's book, let it come from an inspired place, not a place where you think somebody needs it, but out of your own experience. And when you, like, I've heard of authors who write books because their child had a disability and they don't actually put the disability in the book, but it's a metaphor, because those kinds of things really reach a lot more readers and a lot more people, because you want people to identify, you want kids and adults to identify them or see themselves in the book. And so I don't know if it gave me more confidence, but it didn't feel overwhelming to me. But I don't know if it's because I did audiobooks or because I have a background in acting. I'm not sure.
I just imagine you reading other people's books and having characters that would be more like you. And it seems like there would be some of those characters bold in you in a way to be able to come up with a story, but also to see the need for the story as well. I think it's really interesting that you had that background and that path to where you are. Yeah.
Yeah. I think it probably did give me more confidence that I could actually read a kid's book. Like when I went into the studio, I knew exactly what I wanted to do. And the audiobook for Miranda's Mirror actually has a song with it that a friend of mine wrote. It's an original song. And she's a Dove Award winning artist, which is like the Christian Grammys. And so she wrote the song and it's so precious. And so I put it all together because I wanted kids to be able to just music connects with people. Right. So it's on YouTube for free right now. So you can hear the song and hear me read the book, and it's a read along, you know, a read aloud.
That is awesome. Now, are you finding that you're using your book in your practice?
Yeah. You know, it's so interesting because a lot of my coaching clients or people who have been following me for, you know, years and know that I do coaching. I think what it did was, first of all, if I had credibility already in certain ways. So when the book came out, I sold more books. I did a lot of pre-orders because they already knew me and were familiar. But what I wasn't really expecting was people to say, I want to get this in my kid's school. And so I've had, you know, a call from a principal already, and we're planning a school visit for me to go and share this message with the kids. And so it is expanding my business, you know, in a way for I'm reaching more kids, but I'm also reaching more adults. Mm-hmm. So more adults have come to me wanting coaching because the message in the book gives a little more credibility to my business, I think. You know, and then it also helps with, you know, bringing a different stream of income into a business as well. You won't get rich off of any book, like kids' books, regular book. No one gets rich off of it, but it's still rewarding. You know, it's nice to have another stream of income, but the key is that you impact more people, like you help more people. And that, you know, whenever you're excited about a project in life or in your business, it fuels other areas of your business. So like joy does that. It's infectious. And so I've been having so much fun with this kids book. I think I'm showing up better in other areas of my business too.
I can totally imagine you going into a classroom or into a school and having that opportunity to read in front of the kids. The power just for you, much less for them, of being able to take that book that you wrote and act out the characters that you were given and to bless them with that is just so powerful in my mind.
I'm really excited. I haven't done the school visit yet because this book is newly released, but yeah, I'm really looking forward to it.
You are going to be a superstar instantly. They're just going to want to flock to you. I'm telling you, this will be awesome. I might have to have you back on after you go because it'll be a totally different experience for you.
I bet. Yeah, I look forward to it.
And then just even the fact that you're making these connections with people, it's opened a door that's different and unique to you. And it's giving you a different kind of traffic through that book.
Yeah. I mean, I think the overall arching mission of our ministry is to encourage people to pursue the presence of God and find freedom in Christ. So my whole ministry is about if you spend enough time with the Lord, if you look into his eyes so you can see who you are and see who others are, you learn how to love God, love yourself, and love others. So it's my whole ministry is about identity, is really meeting with God and finding freedom to be who he made you to be. And so this kids book is an extension of that message. And so it's just a different medium to say the same thing. I have had adults read this book and start crying. My niece, who is 18, read the book when it was in the very beginning stages, and she's not a tearjerker kind of person. She doesn't like lose some tears. Yeah. And she was like, why am I crying? She was all like embarrassed. And so I think there's something when you write something organically out of who you are and your experience and your passion, whether it shows up as an adult, you know, fiction book, nonfiction book, or kids book, when you're authentic to who you are and share the message that's on your heart, it will touch people because that's what you were made to do, is write on a certain theme or share a certain message. So I think that's what's happened.
I think you're hitting it exactly, because each of us have these experiences that in the time, in the moment, we're wondering why it happened. It's something that it just kind of almost haunts you. And then somehow it shows up later and connects and you think, oh, that is amazing. That's why that happened. I actually do have some experience with this that I can actually use to help other people. And that's exactly what you're doing.
You know, when you say that, it reminds me, and I don't share this very often, but it's all over my blog, but in the context of a kid's book, I don't share it often. But the truth is, I was bullied incessantly as a kid and all the way through high school. And I look back and I'm like, I was cute, you know, like, and there was no reason. Obviously, it was their insecurity, but you don't know that as a kid. And then I go into acting where it is all about what I look like. Was I skinny enough, pretty enough? Did I look like the role? What I looked like meant whether I could make a living or not. And so I lived a life of always worrying what I looked like. And so I think even though I wrote this and I wasn't in a place of insecurity at the time, I really connect with this book for those reasons. And I just don't want little girls to go through what I want them to just embrace who they are. And I don't, you know, there's got to be another message. You know, I'm sure there's books on bullying. Like, how do we say to someone, and so, you know, sorry, you don't like my hair, but that's how God made me and I love it. Mm-hmm. Right. And even as adults, we deal with that stuff. Someone doesn't like our personality or our inflections or our choice of words, and we won't be able to please everyone. And I hope this book brings us back to the grounding that we are all work in progress, but we are fearfully and wonderfully made.
Oh, that's just beautiful all by itself, Jill. Honestly, that is awesome. I think you're right, though. I think it's a piece of who we are that we have to accept, and trying to figure out how to circumvent some of that bullying that happens. And it happens more often than probably we even realize as adults. Mm-hmm. I think that needs to be your next book.
Okay, I will take that. I've already got a couple other. Yeah, that'll be my challenge. Well, I've had people say, will you write a book for boys on this subject?
Oh, interesting.
And so I've been getting some interesting feedback, and I already have another book in the works. And so I've got like four or five different ideas, and one's already written. And so, yeah, it's just starting to flow now. And I think that's what happens in creativity. Like when we're, again, walking in joy, we become more creative. When we walk in peace and rest, it's just, you know, anybody can write a kid's book, but can you do it from a place that you're not trying to prove who you are? You're not trying to make money. You're not trying to earn your significance in any way. But if it's an extension, like your arm, then it's joyful and it helps people.
Yeah. It's a tool for serving, right?
Yes, absolutely.
All right. So let me ask you this. I think you've pretty well sold this, but this is a common question for me. What are two reasons that you think that any business or any business owner should have their own kids book?
Yeah, I think you said it, serving. Mm-hmm. If we focus on serving others, then it will come back to us. It's a biblical principle of you reap what you sow. So just sow really good things, sow into other people, help other people. And it may not come back in your business in the same way you expect. Like I may put this book out there and not find income out of this book, but I may find relationships and other opportunities that down the line, you know, bless my business in a different way. So I think the number one reason people should have a kids book is to find what is the need out there and find a way to serve, and it will come back to you in a good way. And I think the other reason really why to have a kids book for your business and any book in that matter, but a kid's book specifically, is because you will reach people that you haven't been able to reach already through whatever you're known for. But if it's still related to your business, it will help your business grow. I mean, just being strategic about it, another income stream, visibility, connections, networking, all of those things is another reason. It doesn't matter what field you're in. You can be a realtor or a nurse. And it'll just give you more credibility and you'll have more influence. And we only should want influence in order to help other people. If it's for our own ego and pride, most likely it'll fall flat.
100%. And it only lasts for so long. If it does do well, it's going to die out fast.
Yeah. Yeah. Because then you need the next high. Mm-hmm. You didn't get your pats on the back aren't as often, and you need to find a different pat on the back. You know, when you do something out of who you are, you can talk about it easily, and people can tell whether you're scamming them and just trying to get something from them, or if you really want to help, and not just with your words. People can feel it.
Agreed. Those are the people that you trust the fastest are the ones that you know that are genuine and they want mm-hmm. to help you. They want to serve.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right. Last question. I've asked you a ton that weren't on the script. So thank you for hanging in there.
Yeah, sure. Sure.
So I was thinking about your book, thinking about the mirror. And I'm just wondering, do you feel that if I was a parent who wanted my daughter to have a solid self-confidence, a mirror is something that you would suggest? And would you do what you do in the book?
Yeah, that's a really good question. You know, I think it depends on the child, right? Like everything that we do for our kids is kind of, you treat all the kids different, you know, based on who they are. I don't have a problem with, you know, kids having a mirror. And if you are noticing they're dressing different or talking bad about their bodies or comparing or spending too much time on social media watching, you know, girls always do makeup, that might be a conversation that needs to happen. And I don't think taking the mirror away is going to take away the problem. A conversation is going to help resolve it. So, but what I have had some people say is, I need to get a mirror now for my daughter because I want to put the sticky notes on it. And so in my activity guide, I made like 12 sticky notes that you can just cut out and tape up that have affirmations and, you know, positive declarations or scriptures for kids. And so, but I'm hearing that people are like, oh yeah, I could put it on the bathroom, but it would be fun to celebrate my daughter and say, oh my goodness, look at that dress on you. Look in the mirror. Don't you look beautiful? And then follow it up with the character thing. I love the choices you make. I love that the mirror makes you feel pretty because you are, but I also like when you walk away that you treat others with kindness. You know, just those kinds of conversations. I had a father reach out to me and he said he didn't realize that his daughter needed to be told she's beautiful separate from all the other stuff. Mm-hmm. And he said, I always tell her she's beautiful and she's kind and she's smart and she's courageous. He said, I tell her all of that. Mm-hmm. He said, but when she read your book and just heard beautiful, she lit up and something different happened in her. And he said, I just didn't know she needed just that. And okay, so I just heard this and I'm still processing it. Like, why do we need just that? Mm-hmm. The only thing I can imagine is, and again, from a Christian standpoint, the enemy, the devil, hates us being made in the image of God. And so he will do anything to attack us, because if we are focused on our image, then we aren't focused on the things we're supposed to be focused on in making the world a better place and being kind and loving and all those things. So I think it's strategic to make us hate ourselves, because then we don't show up really well for anything else in life. But if we can be so self-absorbed, we're not seeing others. So I think the identity piece, especially what we look like, is really important for little girls to just embrace it. I don't have it all unpacked yet, but that's what I've got so far.
That's great feedback, though, from a dad to see that difference and just mm-hmm. to be aware enough yeah. that he saw a difference when that focus was just on beauty.
Yeah, I know, right?
Oh, so many books waiting for you, Jill. So many books.
Oh, well, thanks. I'm excited about it. I will tell off new authors, it is expensive to publish your own kids' book. Oh my goodness. So doing pre-orders or Kickstarter, other people will believe in your vision. That's what I did. I have a nonprofit, so we raised money for it and paid for it. But it just, don't let it deter you. That would be my last piece of advice. If you feel the message in your heart, go for it and get it done.
That's a great advice for sure. Well, Jill, I hate to cut us off, but I really want people to check out your book, Miranda's Mirror. They can go to your website, which I'll add some links below our recording for.
Yeah, it's easy to find jillmonaco.com. And Monaco is like the country, MONACO, and /Miranda. And so they can find all the Miranda tools there. And then you can find it on social media and YouTube too.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much for your time today. It was wonderful chatting.
It is so good. Thank you for having me.